Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Acts in chapter 2. Acts in chapter 2, and I want to again mention this evening, first message on the tabernacle. That's tonight. It's the 6 o'clock hour. God is going to bless, unless I just blow an egg. There's so much good material. Lay an egg, I should say. You could blow an egg too, I suppose. You pray for my preaching today. We'll see where it goes. It's kind of like the doctor, the fellow that came in and said, I got some good news and I got some bad news for you. I said, well, give me the good news first. I said, you got 24 hours to live. I said, Doc, that's the good news? What's the bad news? I meant to tell you yesterday. You might be a little concerned sometimes about Fundamental Baptist Church and where we're headed. The message this morning is not from an unfamiliar text, but the fact is there's an emphasis here that I want to make, and it's right now in the middle of summertime, and it's right where it's supposed to be in Acts in chapter 2. I'm on right now. So we got nothing. Just stay with this microphone here then, I guess. All right, Acts and chapter 2. I had a dream last night. I shared this in Sunday school. It's a good thing that the Word of God is complete and God doesn't speak through visions and dreams anymore because I dreamt that I was piloting a 1,000-foot freighter through the Sioux Locks last night. It was actually early this morning. It was so real. I woke up in a panic. And I was going down, going through the Sioux Locks, and I learned how to pilot that boat on a correspondence course. And I'd never done it before. I didn't know where anything was, and I was running into things. And there was I don't know how this works, but in a dream it works. There was cross traffic. There was boats going this way and intersections and that. And I was running into things, and it was going downhill. Now figure out how that works. And it gets worse than that. The name of the ship was the Edmund Fitzgerald. And God has called me to pastor Fundamental Baptist Church. And I want you to know we are going somewhere, but I'm not the pilot. The Lord Jesus Christ is. Man, I'm just the under-shepherd. He said, Bill read it this morning. You know that verse in Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'd like to take some thoughts out of Acts and chapter 2 and trust it'll be a blessing to you. Maybe some things you've never heard before, never contemplated, never thought about before. And I trust that God's going to speak to all of our hearts because I remind you, the great hope of this age is the church of Jesus Christ. If the church loses its way, that's no failure on Jesus' part. That's a failure on mankind's part. And the truth is, in the United States of America, the church is just kind of, it's static. It's like nothing's happening. It's you look across the spectrum, and there are very few Philadelphia churches. That's scary. That is more than concerning. And God's plan for this church, this age, is the church of Jesus Christ. And if the gospel is going to get out, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And then Acts chapter 2, those 120 people waiting in the upper room, and bang, the church was born. The Comforter came. The Holy Spirit came. They were endued with power from on high. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were energized, if you will. And God has a purpose for the church. So here it is, July. The year is 2019. We've got to have some vision. An army that is idle is a dangerous army. Man, we've got to know we're not just holding the fort. We're not just hanging on. We're marching to Zion. We need to understand as the people of God that Christ Church is, it's going somewhere. Get some vision. You all know about the new lock. You know that they're saying thousands of jobs. With thousands of jobs, people will be moving in from all areas. Get some vision. Understand that the unsaved, we're already surrounded by the unsaved. You really ought to already have all kinds of vision. You got a neighbor that isn't born again. How can you go through life just kind of picking yourself up in the morning, doing the same thing day after day after day? Then you do need to understand there's an eternity that's real. There's heaven that's real. There's a hell that's hot. Man, you need to understand that Jesus Christ is the only hope. He is the only salvation. And the church has got to proclaim that. Look at Acts in chapter 2. Acts in chapter 2. Now, Fundamental is positioned and poised to do great things for God. By being poised, I mean we're doing it already. That's like the missionary, the young man that surrenders to be a missionary and says, when I cross the ocean, that's when I'm going to start winning souls. That's foolish. You know, so when those people move in, that's when we're going to get busy about the Great Commission. That's foolish. Because there are people here right now. The church is born, Acts in chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I'm in verse 1, they were all of one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Christ's church is being birthed. The people are gathered, but they need the breath of life. They need the touch of God. They need the enabling of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what's going on this day of Pentecost. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. 15 different languages listed here in the book of Acts in chapter 2. They were known tongues. It was for the propagation of the gospel. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were amazed. Some of them accused them of being drunkards and being drunk and they were denying the wonderful works of God. In verse 11, Peter stands up, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Go on down to verse 22. Peter preaches a message. 584 words recorded. Other things were preached. But the 584 words that are recorded in Acts in chapter 2, this is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. I want you to know that the church that is going somewhere preaches the Bible. Amen. Now, what happens all too often, and it even happens in our circles, where the word of God is disregarded for the sake of something else. Some places, the word of God is dissected. I don't like that part of the Bible. That's out. Oh, that part, that's out. And it's like a smorgasbord kind of preaching. Well, we are called of God to preach the whole counsel of God. In verses 14 through 39, Peter himself stands up and preaches a Bible-laced, scathing sermon. He accused them of crucifying the very Son of God. And then he preached that Jesus Christ was alive. Some of them were saying, oh, that's talking about David. All through Peter's sermon here, we find Old Testament quotations. So he's standing up and he's sharing and he's preaching the word of God. And he tells them, that's not talking about David. David is still in the grave. That's talking about Jesus, the Son of God, who rose again on the third day. And he tells them, of course, he tells them how to be born again. You cannot kill God. That is not David. That is Jesus. Something happens during Bible preaching, and they're cut to the heart. They answer Peter by saying, what are we going to do? What do we do? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for remission of sins. He said, turn to God. You got to turn your life, turn to the Savior. Turn to the crucified Jesus, the risen Savior. He's the only hope of the world. Something happens during Bible preaching that doesn't happen anywhere else. In the book of Titus, we're told that Christ manifests himself through preaching. In the book of Corinthians, we are told it's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. Something happens during preaching where the Holy Spirit grips the heart of the sinner, where the Holy Spirit ignites the spirit of the saints. Something happens in Bible preaching that you don't get from a song, that you don't get from just clear fellowship. Fellowship's good. Singing is good. But something happens in Bible preaching. I've heard some of the worst preachers in my life. I've heard some of the greatest preachers in America. And some of the worst preachers, some of the worst pulpiteers, and people still get saved. That's an amazing thing to me. I want to go back in time. I'm going to date myself, and some of you will recall, some of you will not. There used to be a series of films that the Sword of the Lord advertised. They were terrible. One was called Burning Hell. You talk about second rate, no, what do they call it, special effects. I mean, you could tell the guy's head was wax. I mean, it was just terrible. But every time I was in a church where they gathered together, like on a Friday night, and they viewed that film, every church I ever went to, people got saved. And it was through the preaching in that film. It's amazing. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Oh, this gets quoted sometimes, but not the whole verse gets quoted. By the way, good preaching is Bible preaching. That's good preaching. I love to preach the Bible. Tim Rader doesn't have a whole lot to say. Tim Rader runs out of jokes real quick. I love to laugh just like everybody else, but I love preaching the Bible. And it's you've got to get the word of God out. So do I. It says in Isaiah 55, verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." You show me a church that does not preach Bible, does not teach Bible, and I'll show you a church that will be just another flash in the pan. And they're everywhere. So this is a warning to the pulpit at Fundamental Baptist Church and anybody that's listening. Let's never get away from the Word of God. Let's never get away from the Bible. Because, man, that's what's going to save souls. That's ammunition for the Holy Spirit. That puts ammunition, that puts bullets in the Holy Spirit's gun of salvation, if you will, to drive it home to the sinner. Man, that's what they can't forget. God's word never returns void. Man, they'll hear a piece of a Bible verse, that an unsaved man, and he won't be able to get away from it all day long. I mean, all week long. And it's kind of like it haunts him. And the reason is the Holy Spirit takes that Bible and just kind of drives it home and drives it home and drives it home. In the book of Acts, in that first church, the church of Jerusalem, they were preaching the Bible. And they were preaching the Bible effectively. Let me start with verse 40. Acts in chapter 2. Know this. There was a huge harvest, a huge harvest. I want to go back and say this about Bible. Don't hijack your family from God. Everything we do is Bible-centric. You know, at Canaan Land this week, 18 souls were saved. Amen. 25 souls were saved the week before. My math isn't real good, but I think that's 43. 43 boys and girls came to Christ. And it is a labor of love. And there are people out there sleepless nights and they're pouring themselves into people, volunteering in the kitchen. God bless you. Working, sweeping the floors, fixing doors, dumping the garbage, all that goes on with that. Game director, music, all that goes into that. And God bless you. And camp wouldn't be without junior counselors. God bless you, your older teenagers, and you were there counseling, and you did it for 2 weeks now, and it was probably the best thing you ever did, the best thing in your whole life, and I'm telling you, I saw you, you got more out of it than the campers did, and God is developing you into leadership. I wouldn't be a preacher today if it weren't for Bible camp. I went to church, but it was Bible camp that sealed the deal. Man, I mean, it just drove it home. I was a little piece of heaven. God bless you, people, and that is all part of a huge harvest. We've seen many people get saved here. One person. We've seen 20, as many as 27 in one service. God just keeps, lady got saved last Sunday morning. God bless. Man, that's the goodness of God. That's the greatness of God. That's the mercy of God. And here it says in verse 40, it says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." Got to be some repentance. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them," that's the church, "added unto them about 3,000 souls." So there was a huge harvest. There's still more that need to be born again in Chippewa County. There's still more of your neighbors and your coworkers. They don't know Christ as their Savior. Somehow we got to reach them. Sometimes you got to think outside the box, but we got to reach them. You know, time is short. Eternity is just around the corner. Man, we might be standing at the doorstep of eternity. It might be that Jesus is going to come. I had a little concern with the preacher this last week. He's a good preacher. He's a good man. And I'm not bemoaning him at all. And God, the Holy Spirit, was obviously leading him in this. But I mentioned it to Greg. I said, man, he didn't give an altar call on Monday night. And I realized that sometimes you do that, especially with junior campers, because you can talk them into anything. But my point was this. Man, what if that kid's ready to get saved on Monday night and he sleeps in Thursday night's chapel? Because he's all wore out. That was real concern. Well, God was in it, and souls got saved, and I'm all glad for that. I'm just saying, we have no promise of tomorrow. That's just the way I'm built. We have no promise of tomorrow. You say, well, I hope my neighbor gets saved, or I hope Uncle Billy or Aunt Jean, she gets born again. Maybe it'll happen in the future. The fact is, the future might be right now, and that's all there is. Get the gospel to them. Church is going somewhere, and it isn't about just way out there. It's right now. Ye shall receive power. The Bible is preached. There's a huge harvest. Look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And that's all good. They continued in doctrine. That's Bible. That's Bible truths. They continued in fellowship. That's people. That's rubbing shoulders. That's good. And breaking of bread. That's meals. That's sitting down together in prayers. That's being unified in petitions and bringing things to God. This church was going somewhere. That's why a quarter of the population of Jerusalem was won to Christ in a very short period of time. That's why the whole world heard the gospel in the first century. The church was endued with power from on high. They were going somewhere. They had unprecedented unity. Until the smallness of man is exposed, the greatness of God will be hid. Pride is a terrible thing. I know you think you know it all. And I know you think you don't need Sunday night church. I know that you think you know everything there is to know. You're just going to hear it a different way. But that's not how it works. Bonfire on Thursday night. Clay King. They have testimonies. He gets his turn. He stands up. And he says, I just want to thank Brother Aaron for preaching all week. His preaching has changed my life. Right now, I can't remember anything he preached, but it changed my life. So he blew his head up, and then he blew his head up. You know, I mean, I'm talking about the preachers. But here's the truth. I don't remember what I had for supper on Friday, but it nourished me, and it strengthened me, and it got me to today. And You just take in the word of God every chance. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Bible preached, huge harvest, unprecedented unity. Verse 43 says, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. The fear of God, a holy fear of God, came upon God's people. By the way, Christ is just waiting for his church to say, we're ready. And that's when revival is going to come. Just waiting for his church. They had a fear of God. You know what that is? A lot of people don't know what that is. They know about the mercy of God and the grace of God and the long-suffering of God and the forbearance of God, but they don't know what the fear of God is. They don't understand the Old Testament law and how God felt about sin and still feels about that same sin today. That's right. Go to Acts in chapter 5. I'll summarize. Early church. Ananias and Sapphira just got through Barnabas giving a great, just got through witnessing him giving a great offering. So they sold the possession that they had and they kept back some of the land, some of the price for the land. And that wasn't the sin. The sin was that they told everybody, this is all the money we got for this. Glory to God. This is for the Lord. You see, they were doing it for a pat in the back is what they were doing. When Ananias came in, of course, he didn't lie to God, lie to man, he lied to God, didn't lie to the church, didn't lie to the apostles, he really lied to God. That's what verse 4 says. And he fell down dead, gave up the ghost. They wound up his body and carried him out. 3 hours later, his wife comes in, not knowing what was done. Peter answered her and said, tell me, whether you sold the lamb for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? And it's something how families will sometimes agree on something that's wrong, agree that it's right, and they think that changes God. They agreed together, and Peter said, behold, the men are at the door that carried the body of your husband out, and she dropped dead. And great fear came upon the church. Look at verse 11. I guess so. If we had that going on this morning, especially in light of the offering or anything else, there'd be great fear. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And boy, there was a great number. The Lord was magnified and a great number of people saved. They had the fear of God. We've got to get the fear of God at Fundamental Baptist Church. I don't know how to say it. I'll word it this way. Jesus is coming. Today, I'll pick a time, just for illustration. 2:10, You stand before God at the Bema seat. Boy, that would change things, wouldn't it? We need a fear of God because he's a holy God. He's loving, but he's holy. That early church preached the Bible, huge harvest, unprecedented unity. They had holy fear. They were sensitive to personal sin. It wasn't about somebody else. It's they didn't read their Bible that morning. It's they didn't have a prayer time that morning. It's they looked at something they shouldn't have looked at or heard something, listened to something they shouldn't have listened to. You know, it gets real personal the closer you get to God. Because when you stand at the Bema seat, it won't be they. It'll be you. Holy fear. You know what? I'm nothing. I'm a zero. One old preacher said, I'm a zero with a line, with a circle rubbed out. I'm dirt that's moist. I'm a wretch. But my Jesus, he is everything. And the church needs to get that message out so that people will come to Christ. Verse 44, back in Acts in chapter 2. And the fear of God, and the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. This is a church. This is what a church does. There's an awareness of the needs of others. That is maturity. That is not being self-abased or self-absorbed. That's not making it all about me. That's understanding that I bear my brother's burden. That I don't have time to be concerned about others. You're foolish. And you'll find that out at the Bema seat. Because God didn't put you here to keep your garage clean. Not when your neighbor's going to hell. So understand, there was an awareness in the Church of Jerusalem. There was an awareness of the needs of others. They had all things in common. All things common. You know, what you have, what you need, if I have it, man, it's yours. That's ministry, by the way. That is ministry. That is touching lives. That is bearing the brethren's burdens. That is helping and lifting up the fallen. That is real fellowship. Fellowship isn't this. What do you got for me? That's not fellowship. What can you do for me today? I mean, beyond God bless you and how you doing, how nice weather today. Ministry is let me help you. Let me touch your life. And they were all about that in the early church. And we got a little bit of that here at Fundamental Baptist Church. I know that to be true. Man, I know if I have a need, there are certain people in this congregation, I don't even have to tell them about it. When they hear about it, they're at my door. God, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. God bless you people. God bless everybody that's really in the ministry. God bless everybody that isn't a taker, they're a giver. And you're a channel, and God is using you. That's the church that's going somewhere. Again, the church at Laodicea, they're the ones that's rich and they know it. But really, they're poor. They're paupers, and they don't recognize it. Yeah, but I got this, and I got that, and I got this, and your neighbors are going to hell, and you don't have time for a brother over here that's in need, and I got this, and I got that, and you polish it all up. Yeah, that's that church in Laodicea. The church in Philadelphia, that's the church with the open door and has the power of God that we read about in the book of Revelation. Go back to Acts in chapter 2. They believed. They that were believed had all things common. Verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, to every man, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Hey, I said this in Sunday school. I almost forgot to say it in the morning service. And I told you I was going to do it. Nobody's reminded me. This came to me this week. It came to me actually yesterday afternoon while I was cutting the grass out here in the front of the church. And it's this. We do not, and there's a play on words, but it's deeper than that. Hear what I'm saying this morning. At Fundamental Baptist Church, we don't do church. That is wrongheaded. We are church. It's 7 days a week. It's 12 months out of the year. We don't do church Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. That's it right there. There's your time, God. That's all you got for me. That's the only time I have for you. Or maybe Sunday night at 6 o'clock, that's it. Monday through Saturday, man, that's mine. No. We are ecclesia. We are the called out ones. We don't do church. We are church. It's all the time. It's not secular and sacred. It's sacred. It belongs to God. When you're at the workplace, you're still part of the church of Jesus Christ. You're still a member of Fundamental Baptist Church. We are church. And we practice the presence of God no matter where we go. An awareness to the needs of others. That's maturity. And then verse 47, let's go there. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Although Jesus is satisfying, there is an unlimited store for more. Because there's an unlimited store of the grace of God. We'll never wear God's grace out. Never. In that early church, and you read it. You can read it going into chapter 3. Go read it going into chapter 4. You read it in chapter 5. They had a thirst for more that only Jesus could satisfy. Now, he is satisfying. He is completely satisfying. He's everything I need. But there was a thirst in the first century church, in the church of Jerusalem. There was a thirst for more. I can get more done for God. There are more people to reach for Christ. Praise God for 18 souls that were saved at Canaan Land last week. But there's more. There's senior week coming up. There's more people to reach. Praise God for those that were in Sunday school. But there's more. There's boys and girls in every direction and men and women in every direction. Praise God for the church attendance. But there's more. Wasn't it great? We had a full house on Sunday morning. But listen, there's more. I'll go back and testify and I'm done. You've heard me say this, but let me explain it. I am in the ministry because of happy preachers. That's the truth. Man, I was wavering. I went back and forth in high school. I knew I was called to preach in junior high. Then I got in the world. Then I get right with God during a revival meeting. Then I go back to the world. And so you go after those people that fall away. Man, don't you give up on them. And I'm thankful. I thank God nobody gave up on me. You know, maybe somebody gave up on me, but God never gave up on me. And there were church people that didn't give up on me. And I kept going back and forth and back and forth. And I finally got out to Bible camp. And I was counseling as an 18, 19-year-old young man. And I was one of the men counselors. I shouldn't have been there, but I was. They needed counselors, so there I was. I knew what to say and what not to say. I knew what was right and what wasn't right. I'm just telling you, my heart wasn't right with God. But I got there, and man, the first chapel service, the first moment, the first hour in the tabernacle, God smote my heart. You know where the Holy Spirit grips your heart. And I realized, man, I was out of the will of God. And I saw old Pastor Hausman, white hair, slick back, big man, ex-logger, fingers like, you know, like that big around, big fat finger. And man, he could sing and he could preach. And I saw Pastor Donaldson. And I saw Pastor Nordine. And I saw Pastor Johncock. And I saw Pastor Amundsen. And these men loved God. And I saw a joy of God that I did not see in the world. And I recognized as a 19-year-old young man, wet behind the ears, I made some poor choices. And what the world said it had, it doesn't have. And I wanted to come back to God. I remember Debbie was with me. We were already married at that time. Getting on our knees underneath a great big white pine tree at Bible camp. Carpet of needles. And getting down on our knees. And I remember praying this prayer. And she'll verify this. God, if you still want me to preach, I surrender. I thought that was a pretty safe prayer. Because it was August. What college is going to accept you in August? Little did I know that they were recruiting all the time. So we packed everything up. We owned in a car, a two-door car, and a two-place snowmobile trailer. And we went to Bible college. And the rest is history.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.